Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Everyone, welcome to this special broadcast of Faith Talk Live Prayer. This is WSCIRO, C Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, and I'm Dr. Shirley Kianis, General Manager and co-host. We don't normally broadcast on Thursday, but we wait to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. In a couple minutes, we are going to invoke the Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide this broadcast, and that He would bless the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. So it is Thursday, September 9th, 7:07 p.m., and I am broadcasting from New England, and we are enjoying very cool weather, and it's 62 degrees. And we are, you know, within, you know, 2 days' time, during Rosh Hashanah, we're in the season of Rosh Hashanah, and I usually drive children to school, and I'm so glad to find out that our town and the towns around us do take off the Jewish holidays. We observe that as communities in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I think that is so great to be in solidarity with the Jewish people as they, you know, embrace Yeshua, and they may not even know it's Yeshua, but embrace Yeshua and, you know, an acknowledgement of the new year and embrace what the Lord's done with creation. You know, they just don't go to, based on the January calendar. It's more like all the way back to the time that the Lord created man, you know, and it's just awesome for us to have a celebration that can commemorate that. Anyway, you know, we're going to concentrate on talking more about peace. In the last broadcast, I was doing part of our faith series on, you know, just the different degrees and different levels of faith. And the last aspect of faith we talked about, or absolute, was peacemaking faith, okay? So I think that if you know, after you hear this broadcast, I think you should all go and listen to that. There were some wonderful nuggets that the Lord had downloaded from heaven. And so, you know, in lieu of what we've been listening to in the news, we have some good news, and we also have some things that the Lord wants to share with us, okay? And we do have a guest coming on that will, you know, I really believe God has gifted her with an incredible gift of, prophecy and preaching and teaching and evangelization, and she's Kate Manna from Floodgate Revival Ministries in Georgia. So anyways, we're going to, you know, in a couple minutes I'll bring her on, but we're going to offer this show up as a memorial to all the victims and their families who suffered and died on 911 during 911 you in Charlottesville. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing? I'm sure you did. It was such a horrendous event that, you know, will never, ever, ever be erased from our, you know, the human heart of man and of God. You know, God has a human heart. He made us in his image. And so, you know, it will never be erased. It will always be remembered. And you know, even though it was tragedy, it was also a starting point for this country and for others as well. So we're going to offer that up. We're going to just use this broadcast to remember the victims. And then we're going to talk about, you know, just what radical Christianity is. I mean, you know, there's radical Christianity. There is, you know, we are called to be radical revolutionaries, but not the kind that would open the floodgates of terrorism. I mean, there's so only so much that zeal could, go as, you know, zeal can only go so far. But the Lord does say that zeal for his house consumes us. You know, it consumes him, it consumes us, but not the kind of zeal that would bring destruction and chaos and disorder. You know, that's never from the Lord. And so, you know, what we can glean from the 9/11 tragedy is how not to, you know, be zealous to the point that we become, you know, we inherit the spirit of stupid, as Bill Johnson was saying in his ministry, I think it was him, you know, that we gotta get over that. There is such thing as, you know, a spirit that, you know, causes us to become stupefied, you know, and we start making decisions based on our own opinion, decisions of what we think, how we think Christianity should be, and, you know, some people can validate that and, you know, and say it's in the Bible when it's not, or they might take an aspect of the Bible and exaggerate it to fit their frame of thinking. So we're going to talk about how that came to be in this particular situation where, you know, Pastor Terry Jones was really, you know, he was going to burn some Qurans on 9/11, and I guess from what I heard on WGBH is that he burned it. He wanted it to be burned because it was an open defiance against the mosque, the alleged mosque that was going to be built right where 9/11 happened, and I guess the location's changed, and that's why he felt it was a sign of God not to do this. But I think, you know, my question is, how did it come to this place? What was he harboring in his heart? And we need to talk about this because if this is in one person's heart, you know, this, you know, how, you know, the attitudes that one has to particular people groups where God is all about love and he wants us to evangelize in love. And, you know, if we, you know, we have to always put prayer out there and not just superficial prayer, but deep, 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 deep prayer and meditation. We need to really seek God's heart for our own conversion and transformation and also seek peace and run after. And that's what we talked about in the previous Faith Talks Live Prayer. And I know that, you know, Kate is right there. I see the hand, so we get to you in a second, Kate. I just want to just lift up this show and all the listening members of the listening audience in the Faith Talk community. We have a fan page actually on Facebook. We just started it, so we have a little under 100, but I'd like to get more. So if you all, you know, like what we're doing, like what you're hearing, you're getting blessed and transformed and God's stretching you, let us know. Become our friend, you know. Like us, you know, we like you, we love you. So anyways, we love you in Yeshua. And I also you know, want to lift up all the people that are part of the YouTube community through WSDAI-TV, Broadcasting Network on YouTube and Vimeo, and my Facebook friends too that are, you know, that are my personal friends. And Cadis is one of them. She's really, you know, such a firecracker in the Lord. And God loves her. She's a true bride. One of the, you know, I can really, truly, honestly say she really, you know, is espoused to Jesus. You know, she really is clinging to him. And the anointing that it comes from that, although she's probably doing, she's probably clinging to him because she loves him and he loves her, that, you know, the anointing is that, is the flow that's established from that union, that holy union. So, we, you know, she is, you'll know when you hear her voice how much, passion she has, for the things of God, for Jesus, for God's people, all right? So, you know, Lord, I just want to just ask Holy Spirit that you would come into this time, you would just fill us, Lord, with your power, fill us with your love, fill us with your joy, and we just thank you, Jesus. And I did just get a reading, from Galatians 6, and, you know, and then we'll put Kate on, but and my Bible was actually open to this when I came to the studio. I'm like, Lord, what scripture do you have, you know, to you know, emphasize what you want to emphasize in this show? And so it's not too much of a long scripture. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to flip over and open to Galatians 6, okay? And this is only an hour broadcast, so, you know, I'm not going to go into a long, long two-hour deal, you know, unless you all, somebody emails me, or maybe 100 people email me and, you know, tell me you want a conference kind of broadcast. But, you know, we're just going to just really, I want to give time to Kate because God's filling her with something. She's like a barometer in the Holy Spirit. She for her generation, she's only 20, but she has so much wisdom for her age. All right, this is Galatians 6. Doing good to all. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. All right, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And then he starts reacting and does all these things. I'm just kind of putting that in there. He doesn't think, you know, he steps outside of the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and really, and this is why we have so many people with splintered thinking, you know, they're not putting on Christ all the way. But that's not, you know, this is not to condemn them. We're having this radio show just to bless them, to pray for you know, further conversion and that the love of the Lord will penetrate those gray areas in their lives. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word, must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we have the opportunity to do so. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, you know, we're going to talk about how this situation, potential situation, could have reaped really bad, bad consequences for the world, for everyone, and the blood of the people could have been on this pastor's hands. We also want to talk about how God's love impels everyone to come out and, you know, really, you know, reprimand the brother in love to say, look, you know, this is like, you know, take a second look at a third or fourth or fifth look at to what's going on, what are you doing, you know, and Kate said that she wrote a letter, so I'm going to just put her on right now, and, you know, she's going to tell us about what transpired. She knew some people that knew the pastor, and not that this is, you know, going to be like a gossip thing, you know, we're going to do this without, you know, any name calling, without any negativity, but, you know, we're going to be ambassadors of peace here. Okay, so anyways, I'm going to put Kate on. I'm just going to get that hand going. All right, this is it. On, yeah. Okay, hi, Kate.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm great, thank you.
How's the ministry going?
It's good. Yeah, I'm getting ready to move to Missouri soon, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Now, are you going to be going to a school of ministry very shortly, or I thought I saw IHOP or California?
Yeah, I'm going to be interning at IHOP for a couple months at their Fire in the Night thing. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. Wow. Well, you know, you heard about how this show is going to be, is dedicated to the 911 victims and their family. I mean, in reality, we were all victims. Even the families of, of these, terrorists that was, that drove the planes to the towers, they had parents, in some reality. Everybody was a victim. Your family members were victims, and not all
Absolutely.
Muslims are terrorists. And you were telling me about the Sufi. But I want you to tell me exactly how this thing in Florida transpired. And we also know that there's a conclusion right now that he's canceled the Quran burning. But let's talk about this.
Well, from what I know, that this guy apparently started, I guess when the Muslims were making their plan to build the mosque, I guess he decided to start this Quran burning thing on the 911. And I didn't even hear about it till 2 days ago when someone on Facebook posted a link about it. And I was reading it, and I'm like, this is horrible. Like, this guy, the way he handled it, I mean, I'm sure he had a good heart, but it was just he was preaching something that was totally not love, and the fact of the matter is the Muslims, they don't know Jesus, so they have no Holy Spirit conviction. But when we're Christians, we're supposed to be in the world and not of it. So, we have the Holy Spirit, and we shouldn't be acting the exact same way that the Muslims do, because we have Him, and when we have Holy Spirit, we have to be different, And I was praying about stuff, and I felt like the Lord said that He had a bitterness towards the Muslims for some reason. Not to turn me sad, because a lot of times bitterness can come through in those kind of situations, So that's what I've been praying, is that whatever's going on with him, if he's bitter towards them, that the Lord would heal that place in his heart, whatever happened between him and a Muslim person, that he'd be healed from that and wouldn't take it on the whole race, the whole religion. So.
Mm-hmm. And, it could be as simple as, maybe, I don't know how old this pastor was, but, maybe something was handed to him from, his parents, some attitude that kind of got into the fabric of his being, the psychological, emotional makeup, and I think a lot of people struggle in those areas. They know what they need to, they know what kind of posture they should take as Christians, but somehow, there's that war between the flesh and the spirit that we talked about in the previous show. So what is it when the Lord gave you that revelation about his heart? Okay, what did you do with that? Tell me what you did. Tell me your.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Oh, when the Lord revealed to you what was on his heart when you were praying, right? Because when we hear all this, all these different things like in the news media or some information from some person who has knowledge of this, I know you have such a good heart that you don't want to get into that judgment realm. So when you heard this, and you receive this, the revelation about the condition of, the pastor's heart. What did the Holy Spirit instruct you to do? You had told me you wrote a letter.
Yeah, I got on his. I searched him on Google, and of course there were a lot of hate facts against him. But he had his website. I think it was govworld.org or something like that. And I got on there, and I was like, well, if he's had a church website, he probably has an email address. And sure enough, he had a contact form, and I'm sure a lot of people have contacted him, but I just felt like Lord said just to contact him, and I just contacted him and said, Terry, the Lord loves you, and he also loves the Muslims, and he wants them to be saved, and the way that you're acting towards them, they could turn the Muslims against you, or against the Lord, and against the walk with Jesus. And I wrote him a letter, and I said that, I said that the Lord showed me he had bitterness towards the Muslims. And I said, I don't know you. I said, I've never even heard about you till 2 days ago. But I said, if you have bitterness, the Lord wants to heal you from that. And I said, the Lord loves you just as much as he loves the Muslims. and every other race. I mean, we're all created equal in his sight, and he wills that no man should perish. And I said, what you're doing is going to bring the blood of not only Christians that could die, but I said, it's going to bring the blood of Muslims who might have had a chance to get saved, but now they might not want to get saved because of your actions. You know, I said, there's going to be a lot of blood on your hands, and that's not a good place to be in. You know, so that's, I just sent him a message, and I don't even know if he read it, because he probably is getting so many millions of letters from people cussing him out and stuff, but I just thought I would do it anyhow, because I'm like, you know, you never know. The Lord could highlight a letter to somebody, or you never know, but that was my means, because it was just like, you know, you're going to, you, that's the best way to reach people's email, you know, so
yeah, sure,
that's what
sure.
I did.
Well, I know. Yeah, I know that with Jeff and I, you know, my husband, we were praying into this too when we heard it. You know, I couldn't believe my ears when I first heard it. And like, because I always want to think well of people and everything, like, you know, or maybe, I want to, like, my whole makeup is that, you know, if I hear this from secular media, I'm like, well, they're just trying to, you know, down another Christian believer. But, you know, it was an air of truth to this. You were also telling me, you know, I read on the status update that these people, you know, were saying, this, you know, pastor kind of like, you know, whatever was going on in his heart, you know, there was a wonderful sister that, you know, is, I guess, African-American, and there was an N-word that was mentioned, whether that's true or not. Yeah, and he might, you know, sometimes when people are under so much of that psychological stress, they do things in fear, you know, these things may leave them, but it's something that's embedded in his heart. And, you know, we definitely will be praying for his heal and his continued healing. So, you know, God loves him so much that he'll, you know, he'll stop him on his tracks. And what the amazing thing was that he was saying that, you know, in the secular media picked this up, that he will definitely consider, praying and asking the Lord, you know, if he should continue to do this. So, you know, he was still waiting on the Lord. So, you know, that part, you know, he was still in that place where he was putting his trust in the Lord. And, you know, and I, that's been my whole message with Faith Talks by Prayer, you know, even in our darkest moments, you know, in our crucibles in our fiery furnace, you know, no matter what, you know, whatever brought us into the fiery furnace, like God has that place where he wants to purify us with the fires of his love and to show us, he loves us so much, he will show us ourselves, you know.
Absolutely.
And yet we'll still be alive, you know, to bear the pain of it, you know, and things like that. So, you know, it's so when the Lord was showing this to, you know, he was showing other, he was revealing certain things to us, being Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday, I couldn't help but think, this kind of sounds like, you know, a kind of anti-Semitism, you know, what is this? You know, and, you know, the Lord is showing me, because we all come, the Christians come from the seed of Abraham, being spiritual Israel. The Jewish people, you know, come from the seed of Abraham through Isaac, and then Isaac's first son, Abraham's first son, Ishmael, you know, who also received a blessing, but Hagar, Sarah wasn't the mother, it was Hagar. He all, you know, they all came from the seed of Abraham, and so what's happening is that whole battle is brought forward to like now, you know, and it's funny how we're in the season of Rosh Hashanah where you know, the Jewish people celebrate the beginning of creation, you know, and you know, they go back so many thousands of years to when the Lord formed the earth and then mankind, and that's why this holiday season is very important to the Jewish people. And so, you know, so the Lord brought me back to that beginning. And, you know, and my husband and I were just like, yeah, we're all like, you know, we're all, you know, Semitic. And anything that, you know, interrupts that, you know, that flow of, you know, that history, you know, whether it be the burning of the Quran or potential, or burning the Bible, or, you know, or just, you know, whatever it is that, you know, denigrates the integrity of our, you know, where we came from. It's always anti means against, you know, and it's like we're, the Lord doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want, you know, the family group to come, you know, the cousins to fight anymore. So, you know, it's like the Lord's using the Christians who truly are, you know, have the Spirit of God flowing in them. I'm not saying He doesn't. I'm just, you know, who's freed up enough, delivered up enough to have His Holy Spirit flowing through us to pray and to intercede on their behalf, on our behalf, of, you know, for relationships to come together, you know, for family relationships to be healed. And I really believe we're at a time where the Lord is turning back the fathers, you know, to their sons, to their daughters, the heart. And He's doing that on an individual level, and He's doing that on a corporate level, you know. The body size is bigger than we think, because He embraces, in the Lord, in Yeshua, He embraces past, present, and future. He knows, He has foreknowledge of who's going to come into the kingdom, you know, and who's already there. You know, everyone's there in His heart. But, you know, the revelation, the day in and day out working of the reality being fulfilled is happening now. And as Christians, we realize this. We can't stop that flow, you know, or we're just going to, you know, we have to repent. We have to, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to touch, you know, our Muslim brothers and sisters where they need to be touched, you know. That, you know, God wills that we are, Jesus wills that we are all saved.
Yes. Amen.
You know, I'm so glad when I heard, you know, what was your feeling when you heard that, that He called it off? What was your feeling in your heart?
Oh, I was ecstatic. I was on the phone with my best friend, and he's like, "Hey, did you hear the news?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Terry Jones called off the burning." And I was like, "Really?" And I was like, I was ecstatic. I just felt like God had answered so many people's prayers, because even, his church is a Dove Christian Fellowship, and my uncle's a pastor at a Dove church, and they're a pretty spirit-filled church. And even the leader of the Dove Fellowship wrote him a note last night and publicly condoned him. So it's like no Christian that I know of was standing with his actions. He was a kind of a lone ranger in this. And even his own, like his own corporate hierarchies, you know, being the president of the Dove Christian Fellowship, even said we can't condone him, you know, and this is not the Dove's heart. Our heart is to love everybody and stuff. And I was just so ecstatic to hear that He had called it off. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like you said, it wouldn't have only affected the Christians, but it would have affected the Muslims that could become Christians, you know. So it was a pretty big battle going on.
Yeah. And the president was saying that, you know, it would, you know, cause Al-Qaeda to, you know, regain their strength and to react, you know, and, you know, it would just do a lot of things that, you know, wouldn't be good for anybody, you know, for the Jewish people, for the, you know, the Christians, and for the, you know, for those who, you know, don't want to have anything, you know, to do with that Islam extremism, you know, and the thing is, what you know, the Lord was showing me, you know, we should all focus on the common ground, peace. And, you know, that's why we did that show prior to that, Peacemaking Faith, because we really focused in on the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, you know, or specifically the Beatitude that says, and this is Jesus that pronounced the blessings upon peacemakers. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And we are entering to that time where the sons of God are going to be revealed, like it says in Romans. And, you know, and there is a very huge anointing for peacemakers right now. because the world, you know, there, you know, the world's volatile, but we can, through social media networking, we can, you know, collaborate and network and to really speak to people personally about things and places, you know, in ways that we couldn't, you know, without social media network. So, you know, it's just really like, I'm just really glad that, you know, and I praise God and thank God that this came to this conclusion, you know. But there was a lot of, you know, a lot of realization about, you know, who we are, what we need to work on, you know. You know, it's all right to acknowledge, you know, it's all right to acknowledge when, you know, as a group of people, as, you know, culture, you know, born-again, spirit-filled believers, that, you know, yeah, we've kind of, you know, it's God, he already knows what we failed in certain areas as a body in teaching people about, you know, peacemaking and what it really is, you know. A lot of people have a hard time turning the other cheek, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it reluctantly. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's consequences, you know, if, you know, we stop the turning of the cheek process and, you know, and then we don't get into prayer, we don't put the sackcloth and the ashes on, we don't fast for our brothers and sisters, and we have to go the extra mile. That's going the extra mile. My husband was giving me some articles. There was, I don't know if you know about Bridget Gabriel. She has ACT, America for America. It was actually a Lebanese woman that, when, you know, like she saw Lebanon change in one day. She was a little girl and was primarily a Christian country. And you know, it was Eastern Orthodox Christian, you know, country. And when the Muslims came and took over the extremists, they, everybody, you know, they were underground for like 7 years, okay? And because there were bombs going off and everything. They weren't too far from Israel, and I think the mother got sick or something. She got sick or hit, or, you know, somebody, they needed medical help. And so they brought them over to Israel, and people would say, well, Israel's not going to help you. And, but they ended up doing that, and then she, learned more. She got a job as a receptionist. They ended up staying on the up. They never went back to Lebanon. And then she was like on their military base, and she learned. She talked. Her major thing was to answer the phone. She, you know, and whenever she answered the phone, you know, there would be George Bush on the other end. There would be other people, and so she got a chance to know all these leaders, and they got a chance to know her. So then she became a Middle East correspondent, and then she became a dual citizen, and she's over here, and she's just talking about, you know, why the extremists hate, and, you know, why they want to, you know, and they're only a certain segment of the Muslim population, you know. You were telling me about the Sufi, right? Because I was also on Facebook reading John Michael Talbot's status update about that the person that wants to build that mosque or that center is now saying a center where people can come, different faiths can come and pray together and things like that and get along. He's more for, like, the peace. What are Sufis all about, from what you were telling us before?
You mean the Sunnis?
The Sunnis, yes.
Yeah.
And then instead of an N, sorry about that. Go on, go on, yeah.
From what I understand, because I've had a heart for the Muslims for a long time, and the Sunnis are like, they are the people that are, they are the people that are just like, the ones that are really peaceful, and it's almost like two different cultures, kind of like how we segregate, like how we used to segregate the blacks and the whites. It's kind of how the Sunnis and the Shiites are. But the Sunnis believe in a different form of Islam and a more peaceful form, and then the Shiites, there's some that believe in more peaceful, but then there's the Islamic extremists, and they're always Shiites, because the Shiites have this, they view the Quran, I think it's, from what I remember it now, I haven't studied the Quran, I read the whole Quran once just because I wanted to know what they believed, you know, and I haven't read it for a while, so I can't what I'm saying, you know, like I said, it might not be 100% correct, so if it isn't, I'm sorry. But from what I understand is that the Shiites believe in a more legalism form of the Quran, that they read it word for word, and the Sunnis kind of just take the interpretation. So there's a couple of verses in the Quran that talk about, like murdering people who are not like you, like the Christians and the Jewish people. And it's only a couple of verses, and it's not even really that bad. I've read it, you know. And the Shiites, the Islamic extremists that are a part of the Shiites, they have preached this for a while, that, you know, that this is the reason that they kill people, and this is the reason they give terrorism against America and stuff. But the Shiites on a whole aren't bad. It's just the people that are the Shiites are the formed. They're like a break off of the Sunnis. So the Sunnis are very peaceful. Shiites are more legalistic, and then there's the really small percent, probably not even 1% of Muslims that are Islamic extremists. It's just sad that those are the only people who have been viewed as you know, part of. They're the only people that have even had any view of being part of, like, the Islamic extremists. They haven't even seen the rest of the Muslims, just that small group, you know? So,
right.
That's
just
sad.
Yeah. And then what's sadder is that, you know, I think more Christians should understand where they come from. You know, where, you know, just like the different denominations of Christians. And, you know, and I couldn't believe when I went down south, you know, one of my few trips down south. We went to get my son from the Marines in North Carolina when he was finished, and I couldn't believe it. There was like the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh Baptist church.
Yeah, exactly.
The independent first Baptist church.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, all these denominations of Baptist churches. My gosh. You know, I only thought there was one Baptist church until I went down there. I was like, what? It was like, wow. Anyways, so, you know, that's like that in everything. There's just so much diversity, but we need to know, you know, what the mindset is so we know how to pray, we know how to respond, and we don't make the rash judgments, you know, like many people have made. But it's good that dialogue does happen. So, you know, Bridget had put a little disclaimer on her website. You know, I always go to her to find out. I'm like, okay, what's Bridget saying about all this, you know? And she said, we had Act for America denounce and condemn in the strongest terms the upcoming Quran burning event. And she was brutal, you know, their family was like, the whole country, you know, was brutalized by the extremists. But she condemned this burning, and by Pastor Cherry Jones and members of the Dove World Outreach in Gainesville, Florida. Now we know that it's not going to happen, so amen. And this is what she wrote yesterday. Their proposed event is ill-conceived, counterproductive, and unwelcomed in a world where ideas and philosophies are best debated. See, this country has a real strong character and also legacy of knowing how to debate, you know, a gift of democracy, you know. So when things are put out there, you know, there's facts that can back it up. But prayer can, you know, as things are being presented, you know, in a free society, you can, you know, people can be, Christians especially, can take this opportunity to pray and fast, because God is God over all of us, over the governments and everything. But it says, so where ideas and philosophies are best debated in the context of the issues and the facts. We find this an archaic act that serves no useful purpose, and as such is a regrettable instance of an inability or unwillingness to discuss the issues facing us in a reasonable and constructive manner. So, and then she reiterates what ACT is all about. ACT for America is and has always been committed to exposing the threat of the political ideology of radical Islam. That's the kind of Islam that we just talked about. And it's Sharia law through constructive debate, illumination of the facts, and a reasoned analysis of the implications of the threat. Okay, and it's not too long. And then she, you know, goes on to spread that they, Pastor Jones and his congregation are stooping to the tactics of enjoining the inarticulate who express their anger and opposition through destructive and spiteful acts of denigration. What is the difference between his actions and the actions of Islam that destroy synagogues in Gaza or churches and Bibles in Lebanon, Bosnia, and Egypt? We are better than that as Americans. So she put it, that little question, you know, in there. But, you know, thank God he heeded the warning and he changed his mind. So praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for that. You know,
but,
you know, I think that, you know, we have to have these kinds of, you know, discussions as a nation. You know, we have to have our own, like I was, when I was doing the peacemaking phase, we have to have our own peace talks within us, right? Or when,
yeah.
You know, could you, you know, or within, you know, when two or three are gathered. I mean, you know, I think there should be an element of, you know, really running after peace, going after peace and running after that, you know, and people really being concerned about peace, because peace is just like faith. It's tangible. You can run after it. It says in Ephesians 6, their shoes, you know, you can speak peace to people, and if they don't want to receive it, you can get it back, you know, and we need peace in order to get into the deep things of God, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, yeah. So, you know, I just want to just, like, speak peace to the body of Christ. So let's pray. I know you need to get off the phone. It's about 12 minutes anyways remaining in the show. So is there anything that you would like to say to any believers that are listening and you know, anything that you want to leave with the listening audience so they can chew on it and pray about it, you know? Is anything the Father showing you?
Well, I just going back to the whole Muslim thing, like, I just really feel as a body, we need to stop, you know, condemning the Muslims. And I know it's hard for a lot of Christians because, like you and I talked about yesterday, a lot of Christians don't have that high call for desperation for soul winning. But the fact of the matter is, as I shared before, hell is very real. And I've been there, you know, and that just rocked my world and I went to hell. Not in a good way, but it just changed my life. And I think I would urge anybody listening to this, Christian or not, I would urge them to please pray for the Muslims, you know, and for anybody for that reason. The Christians need to, I've gotten a lot of messages of people, just different people groups that I've ministered to, of Christians saying that they're like, you shouldn't minister to them. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't minister to them. And they're like, because it's scary. I'm like, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, and we have all control over any demonic thing that could try to attack us, although, you know, there's just nothing that we should be afraid of. And anybody listening to this, I just urge you guys to just really seek after Jesus' heart for souls, especially for the Muslims, because he has a role. Like you said earlier, they are the nation of Ishmael, and Ishmael was blessed, not as blessed as Isaac, but they still had a blessing upon them. And the Lord, I believe the Lord's jealous for the Muslim people just as he is for the Israelis. You know, I think they're both equally, almost equally as important. I mean, obviously the Jewish people was his first choice, but he still has a big heart for the Muslims, you know, the Arabics. So that's just what I would say, is just keep praying. I mean, I pray, even before 9/11, the Lord put the Muslims on my heart, and for the last 10 years I've been praying for them, and I just would urge anybody to pray for them and not be upset about the Islamic extremists, because they just don't know any better, you know. The Lord said yesterday to me, he said, I fight, meaning him, he's like, I fight for the deceived, I fight against the deceiver, you know. And the fact of the matter is, our fight's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So we have to fight against the deceiver, but fight for the people who are being deceived, you know. So that's all I had on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, one of the things that the Lord had showed us was that the whole concept, you know, I'll be talking more about this when we talk more about the kingdom of God from Revelation. We're going to do a Revelation series. But, their whole concept, this is the extremeness of the kingdom of God, is that this life is nothing to them, and, you know, they will, you know, they're doing this, you know, these suicide missions for Allah, and their whole thing is like they think they're going to a kingdom of God, you know, to heaven, and they're going to get receive all these blessings. But that's how the enemy has their thinking deceived, you know, because you know, if they went by the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. But I mean, thou shalt not kill themselves and other people, and you know, how can you inherit the kingdom when you're killing people? But the other thing being is that as we die to self in Jesus through the cross, right, we are going to receive the kingdom, but we're still standing. We're still standing on the side of glory, you know, and the Lord, you know, and the kingdom of God is within us. You know, they think it's external, but it's within us. And we're called in this day and age to usher in the kingdom through praise and through worship, through the, you know, daily dying to self, you know, and making his kingdom known. So, you know, and Jesus is going to return to this earth, and he's going to set up the kingdom on the earth, and he's going to place his feet in Jerusalem. So, I mean, that's what it says through Revelation. And I know that, you know, many people in the Muslim world, they understand about Revelation. Jesus comes to them through Revelation, because there's been a lot of testimony on YouTube. We have, we've secured a lot of videos of, you know, Muslims just coming to the Lord in droves, and Jewish people too, through Revelation, through dreams, through visions, you know, because they
actually
really,
coming,
you know,
and visiting them,
and having a conversation with them, and things like that, speaking Arabic, speaking in Hebrew. The Lord spoke Hebrew to me, you know, when he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. In his Holy Spirit, it was ancient Hebrew, and it was like over and over again. He kept saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Havalitna, Kadosh, 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 Havalitna, Kadosh, you know. And I finally ran that, you know, years ago by a friend of mine who studied ancient Hebrew. About, you know, this, you know, he's a cab driver, and he was Messianic. And he studied ancient Hebrew. I'm like, Larry, you might want to, you know, translate this. What does this mean? He goes, oh, the Lord's just showing you that this is ancient. Kadosh means holy, you know, and the ancient Hebrew text becoming. So, you know, and Hava means like living, Eve, you know, and it's like you're making, you know, like child of Eve holy. You're becoming holy, holy, holy. You're becoming holy. You know, and so my whole life, you know, centered around, like, going from glory to glory and strength to strength and becoming holier, you know, as I'm living my life out as, you know, throughout, you know, this existence and stuff. Like, it was never a, you know, one state thing. It was, like, always becoming. You know, so I just want to leave that way. And, you know, we receive Jesus and sense of the Holy Spirit, we're always in a state of becoming holy. And, you know, the scriptures is all full of the different acts of the apostles and disciples and how we should model, you know, how we should really, you know, they're our role models of, you know, how, the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. There were other things that weren't even written in the scriptures, you know, that, you know, based on the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's doing in his people now. So, I just wanted to, Lord, ask you to touch your people, touch Kate with your presence, you know, and I wanted to speak this prayer that you prayed with me in ancient Hebrew over their lives and in a part that becoming, you know, holy, the becoming holy, at, you know, as you are holy. We just want to thank you, Lord, and receiving new life. Kadosh, 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 Havalitna, Kadosh, 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 Havalitna, Kadosh, 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 Havalitna, Kadosh. Thank you, Lord, for making your people holy and coming into that your greater, a greater presence. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just wanted to speak peace right now, Lord, into, I just want to just speak peace into the and anyone who's listening, to those who will listen to the archive broadcast, I want to speak your shalom, you know, your shalom mantle, right on you know, right into the innermost being, not just on them, but within their innermost being. I speak that to you. I speak that to you, Kate. I speak that the Lord's shalom into your the deep parts of your spirit, that Lord, that that Jesus, that as she drinks of the reservoir of peace, you know, of your shalom, that she would come into that greater place of intimacy, that greater place of becoming holy in your presence. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yeah, the Lord is saying to you, Kate, nothing's impossible with nothing. You know, there's nothing impossible with God. With God, all things possible. Everything.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, we ask that you would release your shalom upon Perry, Pastor Terry Jones, and all those that are around him, all those who advised him. Lord, and if there's any deception, we try and bind and break that chain of deception over his mind, over his heart, over his will.
Yes,
his
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the shalom to come over all the inhabitants of physical Jerusalem and spiritual Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord. Over all the Muslims, over the whole earth, this Rosh Hashanah. Wow. Thank you for your presence.
Oh.
Lord, show us your glory so that we all may be changed.
Yes.
Well, we are just at the end of our show, and there's like seconds left here, and I just want to just, just really say a big God bless you, and we love you, I love you, and Kate, I love you.
Well, me too.
And this is an awesome show, and I, you know, it's all, and because God was a part of this, he orchestrated this, you know, and we just thank you, Jesus, thank you. You are the best, Father. You are the best, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, there's none, no one like you.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. We'll talk later. All right, Kate.
Good.
God bless you.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Divine intervention. We need divine intervention. Thank you. what was in your heart. As you created this world, what were you thinking when you said, let there be light. Before